When is it safe to talk about the unspeakable things? This Thursday was the 110th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide. As a part of the nation-state formation of modern-day Turkey, the Committee of Union and Progress, or CUP, enacted a plan to rid Anatolia of its indigenous Christian people, Armenians, Greeks, and Assyrians. The people that followed orders and carried out this plan, in its diverse assortment of violence and cultural annihilation, ended up killing 1.5 million people. In 1939, a couple decades later, when Adolf Hitler was preparing to invade Poland and commit genocide, he gave a speech which ended with the question, who, after all, speaks today of the annihilation of the Armenians? I am Armenian, from the city of Dikranagert, on the banks of the Tigris. I proudly carry my great-step-grandmother's name as my middle name, Yerenik. It means Beatrice in Armenian, and I rarely share it because nobody knows how to pronounce it once I say it the first time. It's Yerenik.
Yerenik.
Thank you. She survived 1915. My great-grandfather survived 1895. I did not overlap lifetimes with my ancestors that survived, but I know that they, like many 20th century genocide survivors, like many who have lived through the unthinkable, simply didn't talk about it. Why burden their loved ones with their horrors, with their hauntings? Here and now, in 2025, the wisdom in my spaces is to talk about it, to do grief work, to tell stories. Because telling stories can make spaces okay for more stories to be told. For when we tell the stories of the unthinkable, the haunting ceases to just exist in our bodies, but it can be held by whoever has a heart to listen. This is also the wisdom of our Christian tradition. When we tell the story of Holy Week, every single time we gather for communion. When the priest fractions the bread, breaks it after telling the story, we are remembering all of the ways that Christ's body was hurt. And we are remembering what it is to be a resurrection people. If we truly are resurrection people who follow the risen Christ, we must follow his example and listen to when it is okay to share wounds. When it is okay for the wounded person to share their wounds, and when it is okay, socially, for people to listen. There is a quote by the late Pope Francis that has been circulating in my feeds. I haven't been able to find an attribution for it yet, so it might just be a folkloric attribution. I am not sure, but I have training as a folklorist, and it's okay if it's not historical, if we all think that Pope Francis should have said this, but this is the quote. He says, God forgives not with a decree, but with a caress. Jesus, too, goes beyond the law and forgives by caressing the wounds of our sins. What palpable theology there! If we are guided by today's gospel passage, what we know about the resurrection of the body, we know that nobody touches Jesus' wounds unless he explicitly invites them to. Nobody touches Jesus' wounds unless he invites them to. The text itself is unclear whether or not Thomas does touch Jesus at all. Jesus invites him. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. But it is very clear that the resurrected Jesus' wounds are tangible and present in the resurrection, and that they are safe to let others into. These wounds no longer have any power over the body, because the powers of death are powerless against the love of God. A heart, the most powerful organ in the human body, the most powerful force in the entire world, a heart that can be hardened and do awful things, and a heart that can be melted and change the course of history. A heart is never melted by the nail that is pounded into Jesus' flesh. And even though his flesh is desecrated, Jesus is still beloved by God. The Armenians that remained in Anatolia and were forced to convert to Islam to survive, to not be put on death marches, still absolutely beloved. Children blown to pieces by a bomb dropped on a hospital. Everyone, from the victims to the soldiers following orders, to the people who made the bombs, to the people who gave orders to drop the bombs, every single person is still so beloved by God. A human heart is only melted by love and care. God forgives, not with a decree, but with a caress. Jesus, too, goes beyond the law and forgives by caressing the wounds of our sins. The more we learn, the more annihilations we must speak of. But our quiet survivor ancestors were right. To speak about something does make it alive for a second time. Maybe it was not safe enough for them to invite their children and grandchildren to touch their wounds. Sometimes it is not safe. Sometimes we cannot even imagine a place that is safe. But the Easter story tells us that death does not have the final word. Any power that seeks to say that any being, human or otherwise, is less than will ultimately be defeated. And how do I, a child of genocide survivors on one side and settler colonists on the other, know this? I know this through experience, and I know this through learning. It has taught me that other than human beings are persons too. Why? Because I seek to serve Christ in them. On Friday, I was confronted when I got up by a humongous spider on my ceiling. I have small hands. It was the size of the palm of my hand. And most of the time I'm okay with scooping out a spider and saying, hey, little spider, you're on a piece of paper, I'm just gonna put you outside. This spider and my body were not going to do that. I looked up at the spider and I said, wow, hi spider, you're making me anxious. And not at first. And as the morning wore on, it climbed down the wall and I thought, oh man, I have the power of life and death over this spider. And do I want to be in that kind of relationship with my neighbor? The very large spider. And I was very blessed by the fact that I have neighbors who are very good dads, some of whom work in horticulture, and who are very good at catching spiders. I was chatting with a neighbor, and she was like, yeah, my husband's good at spiders. I'll just send my husband over. So he caught the spider and put it outside. And I was very happy for this opportunity to serve Christ in this spider. Likewise, I feel like I serve Christ every time I go to the ocean. And I know God in this great and big being that is so powerful and so generous. And I try to serve the ocean every time I'm there by picking up plastic and in my pockets after I've gone to the ocean. I was just getting out stuff, that like swimming clothes, and I was like, what's in my pocket? And there's this like wad of little bits of plastic that had been there all winter, and I was like, oh, the ocean. So, body of Christ, you are all beloved. We all have wounds, and we all know that Jesus knows what it is to have unspeakable things done to our bodies, unspeakable things done to us, beautiful children of God. We know that Jesus can wait as long as we need for us to share our stories. Maybe we want to share them yesterday, but maybe it's not time. Maybe there will be years of sitting with them. And Jesus can wait, and we all can wait with each other. Because nothing will change that truth, that each one of us is deeply beloved by God.